So in the past, adolescent vaccine uptake has been assessed from different types of surveys, which include the National Health Interview Survey, which is a door-to-door household survey in which parents were asked about immunization records of their teens, either through looking at parental recall. Can you hear me? No? I'm talking into the microphone. I'm not really sure what to...
Maybe slow down.
Just talk louder.
Okay.
Yeah, talk louder.
So with the National Health Interview Survey, it's a door-to-door... household survey in which parents are asked about their teens' immunization histories, either through parental recall or looking at immunization cards that they have at home. There are also different local surveys that were conducted that some states have looked at middle school data or also looked at registries, or had they done their own telephone surveys. However, the NIS Teen, or the National Immunization Survey Teen, is the first national survey in which we've assessed adolescent vaccine uptake through provider-reported vaccinations. So here is the adolescent vaccination schedule for 2008. And as you can see, the first three vaccines are tetanus, diphtheria, acellular pertussis, or Tdap, human papillomavirus, and meningococcal vaccine. And these are the three new recommended adolescent vaccines. And as you can see, it's highlighted that for routine administration for 11 to 12-year-old kids. And that's in the yellow bar. If the child hasn't received it at 11 to 12 years old, then they should be caught up at 13 to 18 years. And that's in the kind of greenish bar following that. The next few vaccines are pneumococcal vaccine, influenza vaccine, and hepatitis A, and these are recommended for high-risk adolescents. However, influenza vaccine recently was just recommended for all adolescents, regardless of high-risk status. After that, we have the older infant vaccines or childhood vaccines, which include hepatitis B, inactivated polio, measles, mumps, rubella, and varicella. And these are for adolescents that haven't received these in childhood, so they should be getting these at the earliest opportunity when they see their physician. And as you can tell on the slide, one important point is to note that the best time for adolescents to receive these vaccinations is at the adolescent visit at 11 to 12 years. And this is a visit that has been supported by the ACIP, the AMA, the AAFP, and the AAP. And this is a visit that all adolescents should be having, and they could be caught up with their childhood vaccines as well as be administered with the new vaccines. And it's also a good time for other preventive services to be given to adolescents, such as behavioral counseling. And of course, if a teen doesn't have that visit at 11 to 12, then they should have it at the earliest opportunity. And lastly, I'd like to mention that there are Healthy People 2010 objectives established for adolescent vaccinations for adolescents between the ages of 13 and 15 years. And this is 90% coverage of 3 doses of hepatitis B, 2 doses of MMR, 1 dose of TD or Tdap, and a dose of varicella for those that have not had a prior history of disease. So I'd like to go through the methodology that we use for the NIS team. So the NIS team uses the same sample frame methodology as the infant NIS, which has been conducted since 1994 for infants 19 to 35 months old. And this is a random digit dial telephone survey. As this was an add-on to the infant NIS, households were also screened for having an adolescent in the household between the ages of 13 and 17. So a national sample of parents and guardians of adolescents 13 to 17 years old were interviewed so that we could obtain the immunization histories from the parents, either from their own recall of whether the child had an immunization or looking at immunization cards that they had at home. We also obtained consent from the parents so that we could contact the vaccination providers of the teens. And this is so that we could send a provider record check to all the providers, and we could actually collect documented medical immunization records from the providers. So the NIS Teen 2006 was conducted October 2006 to February 2007, which is the fourth quarter 2006. And information was collected for adolescents that were born between October 7, 1988 to February 7, 1994. There were a total of 5,468 households that were interviewed, and that gave us a household response rate of 56.2%. And out of those households, 2,882 teens had adequate provider records that were returned from the providers. And this is a 52.7% coverage of the adolescents that had the household interviews. And just to show you in more detail about that sample and just how we got to that number. So we had about 340,000 initial telephone numbers released. And out of that number, 281,000, or 82%, were actually determined to be working numbers. And then from that, about 28%, or 79,000, were actually households, so that we could talk to people. We were able to screen 64,000 households, or which is 81%. And after screening, it was determined that 6,500, or only 10%, had an age-eligible teen between the ages of 13 and 17. And from that, we had 84% households that completed the household teen survey, which is 5,481. Removing some of the teens because of having ineligible birth dates, we had a sample of 5,468 adolescents. And these are the households that completed the household survey. Out of that number, about 4,192, or 77%, of these households gave us consent so that we could contact their provider. And then from that number, 2,882 teens had adequate provider records that were returned to us so that we could determine the vaccination coverage estimates. And that gave us our final number of 52.7% of adolescents with completed household interviews. Now, adequate provider records is a term that we use similarly to the infant NIS. And this is where we match key indicators from the household reported immunizations to the provider reported immunizations. And the reason we do this is to make sure that all the potential vaccination providers that that child had seen had given an opportunity to return their immunization records. And this is an important concept because with the teen survey, we found that teens tend to have more providers than infants. So the average number of providers per teen was 1.8, while the infants tend to have fewer providers, where the average numbers was 1.3. And the vaccines that we evaluated from the survey included the ones that I mentioned in the adolescent vaccination schedule, except for polio. So today I will talk about the catch-up vaccines, hepatitis B, MMR, and varicella, and also the new adolescent vaccines, TD or Tdap, MCV4, and HPV. And for our analysis, we used Sudan software because of the complex weighting of the survey data. And we also determined point estimates and 95% confidence intervals. And to test for differences, we used chi-square and t-test. So on this slide, I'm showing you the overall vaccination coverage among adolescents 13 to 17 years old for the vaccines that I mentioned. So overall vaccination coverage was 86.9% for two doses of MMR, 81.3% for three doses of hepatitis B, 65.5% coverage for varicella vaccine among those adolescents without a prior history of disease, 60.1% for having received a dose of TD or Tdap since the age of 10 years old, and 11.7% of adolescents had received the MCV4 meningococcal vaccine. And going into more detail by vaccine type and by age, this slide shows coverage for two or more doses of MMR, and you can see that coverage did not differ significantly by age. And the last column is the overall. Here is coverage for hepatitis B vaccine by age, where we can see that coverage is higher among the younger teens that are 13 to 14 years old, compared to the older teens that are 15 through 17 years old. And this is somewhat expected since the younger teens were likely vaccinated at birth, since universal recommendations were made for hepatitis B in 1991, and the older teens were born before that year. However, the older teens should be receiving vaccinations and adolescent catch-up campaigns, and also through the middle school requirements that some states have. Here are results about varicella disease and vaccination, and we had a question for parents and providers to indicate whether the child had a previous history of varicella disease. So here you can see that about 90% overall of adolescents are protected from varicella, either through having the disease or having at least one dose of the vaccine. So the orange bar represents the proportion of teens who have had varicella disease, and the blue bar represents the proportion of teens who had received at least one dose of the vaccine. And you can see among the older teens, more of them have had the disease, which is in orange, compared to the younger teens. In an earlier slide, I showed coverage for receipt of either TD or Tdap since age 10 years. Here I broke down the coverage by vaccine type and by age. So coverage with TD vaccine is in orange, and with Tdap vaccine is in blue. So coverage with either TD or Tdap is higher among the older teens, and this is expected since they've had more time to get vaccinated since the age of 10, you know, as they get older. However, as you can see, the older teens have more likely received TD vaccine, while the younger teens are more commonly received Tdap vaccine, which is also not surprising since Tdap has only been available since 2005. And another reason why older teens may have received the TD vaccine and not Tdap is that a five-year interval is routinely recommended between the TD vaccine and receiving Tdap. However, this interval could be shortened in some situations. and maybe that some providers are waiting for that five-year period to go away before they give the Tdap vaccine. Here is coverage of meningococcal vaccine, or MCV4, and as you can see, coverage did not differ significantly among the 13 to 16-year-olds. However, it was much lower among the 17-year-olds. And then HPV vaccine coverage in our sample was only 1% among the female adolescents, but this result is from the fall of 2006, which is before the guidelines were published in March 2007 in the MMWR. Currently, we're doing the survey again, so hopefully next year we'll have better coverage. And just to show you how we're progressing towards the Healthy People 2010 objectives of 90% coverage of vaccination among adolescents 13 to 15 years, as you can see here, we are below that goal of 90% for all the four vaccines mentioned. And lastly, to show you whether teens are receiving vaccinations during that preteen visit at 10 to 12 years, we looked at vaccination coverage of TD or Tdap by age 13 years. And on the x-axis is the year that the teen turned 13, and on the y-axis is the percent vaccinated by age 13 years. So looking at the cohort of teens who turned 13 in 2002, and these are our 17-year-olds, you can see that 22.7% of them had received a booster by the time they turned 13. However, you can see there's an increase in each cohort, where of the teens who turned 13 in 2006, 41.7% of them had already received a booster. And this shows that there's been an improvement in the number of teens who are receiving shots during those that preteen years of 10 to 12 years. And of course, there are some limitations to the NIS team. And most importantly, there may be some bias remaining due to the non-response and the missing households that don't have landline phones. And we're also assuming that coverage among the adolescents with adequate provider data is the same among the adolescents without adequate provider data. So our data may be either underestimating or overestimating the rates. We may have also missed some vaccinations if the provider's records that we're assuming to be complete are not complete. And it may be that some teens are receiving vaccinations in non-traditional sites such as emergency rooms or at workplaces that we're not collecting data from. And lastly, we also had slightly low response rates for the total households, the households who gave consent, and also the number of adolescents from which we got adequate provider data from. However, in conclusion, I'd like to say that we have found that the NIS team is able to give us national estimates of vaccination coverage using provider-reported vaccination histories. And what we found is that coverage of the catch-up infant vaccines, such as MMR and hepatitis B, is fairly high. Coverage of TD and Tdap and varicella vaccine is low, and coverage of the new vaccines is very low, but that's not surprising since they've only been available since 2005, 2006, only in the past couple of years. But the Healthy People 2010 objectives for adolescents 13 to 15 years have not been met for any of the four vaccines, Hep B, MMR, TD, and varicella vaccine. So we have future plans for the NIS team, and we're conducting additional analyses in which we're looking at an analysis of the age of receiving vaccinations, which you'll be hearing shortly. We're also comparing parent and provider reported immunization histories to see how adequate they are. And we're also conducting vaccine-specific papers. And the NIS teen was conducted in 2007 in the fourth quarter, in which we gathered national estimates for teen vaccinations. And in 2008, currently, we're doing all four quarters in which we're collecting data which will give us national and state-specific estimates. And this is currently in the field. And the survey will be conducted annually from now on. I'd like to thank all my collaborators on this important survey.